today, and it's going to be on the Beatitudes. I think sometimes it's hard to be a Christian or to serve Christ. You want to do one thing and you find yourself doing another. I know as a little girl, I accepted Christ when I was 11 years old, and I really wanted to serve Christ, but I still found myself wanting to punch my brother out for some reason, and I was thinking bad thoughts perhaps about people that I didn't like, and things that kids go through in their life, and you're just confronted with so many things, and you kind of look down on yourself, and you just want to give up, and you say, geez, I'm not a very good Christian. Why should I even bother? But we have to remember that it's not us trying to live a Christian life, that it's the Spirit that's within us trying to change us into a Christian. We can't make ourselves be good. I found that out very early in life. You just can't make yourself be good. I used to try to be good just for one day, Mother's Day. That was her gift. And I blew it, okay? So after that, I just started buying her gifts when I got a job. It was never going to happen. But I've been at this church for about 7 months, and there's no doubt in my mind that there's people here that really want to live for Christ. They want to serve Christ. They want a deeper relationship with Christ. They want to learn more about the Bible. And I have to always go back to that verse found in Philippians 3 that says, I want to know Christ. Because I believe that we really want to know Christ. And it says we want to know Christ and the mighty power that raised him from the dead, that we could share in his sufferings, so somehow we could obtain the resurrection from the dead. Everybody wants eternal life. Everybody wants to live forever in the presence of God, or to go to heaven, as we put it. The English Standard Version says this, and the Apostle Paul almost sounds desperate when he says it, that by any means possible, I want to obtain the resurrection from the dead. When I was in college and getting ready to graduate, they always emphasized your resume. And they taught us how to do resumes. They even showed us different paper to have our resumes printed on. I used to go downtown Mansfield and get a cream color that was really textured, and just to have my resume printed on that. But they always stressed that we needed to point out things about ourselves. And I didn't really want to use the word that I was ambitious. That didn't sound right. So I used the word tenacious. I am a tenacious person. Because that sounds better, doesn't it? Ambitious, tenacious. And the Apostle Paul was tenacious about the Lord Jesus Christ. The word tenacious simply means this: to keep a firm hold on something. And he kept a firm hold on. He clung to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I need to learn how to be tenacious in our faith, how to live a life for Christ. And we don't realize that that's already been done for us, because if we read a little further on in Philippians 3, it says this: I want to press on to perfection, and not being perfect. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being righteous in Christ. But it says, I want to press on to perfection, for which Christ possessed for me. See, he's already done that for us. And we just kind of need to cooperate. Have you ever told your kids, just get in the car and cooperate and it'll be okay. Yeah, I'm sure we've all just told them to get in the car. And that brings us to the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount, as it's called. And the Sermon on the Mount is so important in our lives as Christians because, number one, it's Jesus's first sermon. This is what he started teaching in the very beginning of his ministry. But we need to remember that there's no way that we can live up to these standards that's given to us. When I was younger, I read the Sermon on the Mount, and I just kind of shut the Bible and went to something else, like Philippians 4 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when you read through the Sermon on the Mount, it seems hard. But it's not hard, because it's God working through us. For John Wesley, and those of you that are here this morning that aren't familiar with John Wesley, he's kind of the founder of the United Methodist Church, or the Methodist Church. But our holiness, or our Christian life, is found in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this about the Sermon on the Mount. He says it's the beauty of holiness, of the inward person, of the heart renewed after the image of God. And if you want to have your life renewed, if you want to have your life changed, start applying the Sermon on the Mount to your life and allowing the Holy Spirit to change you through what Jesus Christ has done. The Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes, also bear witness with the Old Testament when it says this, 1 Samuel, and this is God speaking to the prophet Samuel. The Lord doesn't look at the outward man or our outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So it doesn't matter how you came to church today, whether you're really dressed up, not so much dressed up, you got your hair done, don't have your hair done, but God is looking at our heart today. And that's what our inward person is our heart. And we can be sitting here today with a smile on our face, but we can be breaking to pieces on our inside. And that's what God does, is he makes us whole. Living up to these standards, like I said earlier, is not something you can do on your own, but you really have to depend on God, and you have to have God work through you. I'll be reading from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 4. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Would you pray with me? God, I ask you just to open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us through this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes? Heard of them? Okay, very good. And sometimes when you read through them, you might go into a state of shock because this is what you think that the Christian life is all about, or how you have to live. And especially the first tenet that's given to us, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, it has nothing to do with being poor. Frankly, God really doesn't want you to live without things, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the message. But as a kid or as a teenager, when I read that, blessed are the poor, I thought, you mean I have to live the next 60 or 70 years in poverty? And I don't. That's not what it's talking about. And it doesn't mean that we can't have fun and that we have to go around with long faces. It doesn't mean that we're never going to sin, or we're never going to become angry. It doesn't mean that you have to live a lonely life in the desert dressed in a brown robe and live a celibate life the rest of your life all by yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to become a missionary, a pastor, or a teacher, or anything you don't want to become, unless God calls you to that, of course. One commentator said this about the Sermon on the Mount. He says you can't pick and choose which ones you want to follow. That would be good, because I may be able to actually do one of them, but they're very hard to do. But you can't do that. And you have to follow them in the order they're given. So you can't skip around. Do your kids ever skip around and they try to do what's easy first and save what's hard later? But we have to start at the very beginning with the first one. To be called the Beatitude or the Sermon on the Mount, the word blessed has to appear. God blesses those who have these character traits or this quality in your life that's given to you through the Holy Spirit. And if I could have a teaching moment, if you will, and it's regarding English, so those of you that do not like grammar or English, just stay tuned, it's quick. The Beatitude usually starts with an attitude. I mean an adjective, okay? Hey! You know, you got to remember where I came from, okay? I was a girl, little girl with an attitude. The Beatitude usually starts with an adjective, blessed. That's the adjective. And then it has a descriptive clause or a principle. In this case, the descriptive clause would be, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And then it ends with a condition, assuring that we are blessed. So blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I think we all here today want the kingdom of heaven to be part of our life or eternal life. Those of you that haven't been part of our Old Testament Bible study on Tuesday evening, each and every Tuesday I ask a different person from our faith community to share their faith story or their faith journey. And our presenter last Tuesday, and I'll paraphrase, kind of said this, that even though he had everything he needed in his life, he was empty on the inside and realized he needed God. And that's what this first beatitude is talking about, being poor in spirit, that we realize we have a need for God. And here's a good test to see whether you have a need for God today. If you have everything you need today, your health, finances, family's doing okay, and you just say to yourself, I don't need anything. I don't need nothing. There was a man in the Bible that kind of said that. He had everything he needed. He was very, very wealthy. And he built all these barns, and he put all his belongings in it, and he kind of sat back in his easy chair and got his fat drink and was sipping his drink, and he passed away that night. He had a need for God. You and I have a need for God in our lives, and we need to acknowledge that need each and every day of our life. The New Living Translation explains the first beatitude like this: God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. I don't think people realize, as I said earlier, that God doesn't want us to be poor. Unless there's a certain group of people, like I know a certain group of nuns perhaps that have taken a vow of poverty in their life. But God really wants to bless us with blessings. Matthew reveals to you and I that if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us good gifts in our life? And it continues and says, seek first the kingdom of God, and every single thing that you need will be added unto you. If we acknowledge our need for God and put God first in our life, everything just kind of falls in place naturally. It comes to us naturally. John Wesley said this about the first beatitude, that real Christianity always begins in poverty of spirit. So if you're wanting to improve on your Christian life, I guess we could say it, or be a better Christian, ask God to give you a need or to put within you a desire to follow and to serve him. Because that's the very, very first step all of us need in our life. When we begin following God and we begin serving God, then something happens to us in our life. Out of that need or out of that desire to follow God comes this need and desire to see other people follow God. And that brings us to the second tenet, which says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We want to see people offered the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see people have hope and health and everything they need in their life. Most of us in our life have experienced grief. And perhaps you're here today and you're still experiencing a very severe grief in your life. This tenet isn't talking about that you have to walk around grieving internally and never feel joy. That's not what it's saying. You don't have to go around with a long face. You're allowed to laugh and be a Christian and to have fun. When I was in graduate school, I had a roommate that was very, very much touched by children. She was studying to be a nurse, and she had this bright idea one weekend that her and I should go camping in Missouri in November. And we lived in Oklahoma. Let's just leave and go. So we left and we went. And when we got there, of course, it's the middle of the night, and it's very, very dark, and we had to camp out, and I had never camped out before. My family stayed in hotels, so I thought it would be fun. So we pitched our little pup tents, and we had those little air mattresses, and all night it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And when we got up the next morning, we kind of found out that we had floated to the middle of the road, and there we were camping. And I said, we're in the middle of the road camping. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really? And I said, tonight we're staying in a hotel. So much with camping in the Ozarks, you know, it's beautiful down that way, but you know, you get there at 1 o'clock in the morning and just set up at one of these KOA campsites, no one's there but the people with the luxury liners, and the two girls, you know, with the pup tent and the air mattresses floating. But anyways, we went to the hotel, and on the screen, on the TV, commercial came on, and it was about one of those commercials about children suffering. It was wanting people to donate and send money. And I don't remember whether they were hungry or whether they were sick. I don't even remember the foreign country. But she just started weeping, and she just started crying for the children on that screen. And that's what this is talking about. You're touched by the plight of people when they're suffering, whether that's on TV, perhaps an earthquake in a foreign country, perhaps immigrants, anything, anything. The poor in our own country, our own natural disasters that occur, the hurricanes. But you're touched deep within yourself. It's a mourning deep within you, and you want to do something about it in your life. And that's what John Wesley talked about when he was talking about a personal holiness. He was talking about this first tenet, where we need to be aware that we have a need for God. And out of that need for God, we need to develop compassion through the Holy Spirit for people. That we want to show people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to use what they're suffering from as kind of our springboard and then introduce the gospel. Because for John Wesley, it was always about the soul. What is going on in the soul of the person? He told his lay leaders and his ministers, he says, use their physical needs as a means to ministry to their soul. And that's what our personal and our social holiness in the Methodist Church means. It's such a wonderful, wonderful concept in our lives. And then we will be comforted. I don't think we quite understand the terminology of the beatitude. It comes from the Latin word beatus, and it means to be extremely, extremely blessed by God. And when you think about that, most people think, well, that would mean a house like this or a car like this or a vacation home. No, that means just to be content, to be happy. Because frankly, many people are not content. They're not happy. If we were, we wouldn't be staring at HGTV so much, wanting a granite countertop. Now, would we? No. I read a story about a woman, and her name was Karen. And she came to Christ later in life. And not real late in life, but she wasn't raised in a Christian home. And she came to Christ through a series of tragedies that took place over 2 years of her life. During this two-year period, her fiancé died, her father died, and her grandmother died. So she was experiencing just a terrible, terrible time in her life. And she came to know Jesus Christ. And she was a corrections officer at a sheriff's department out in California. And she felt God calling her. But the country that God was calling her to was Iraq. And most people know that Iraq is a very, very dangerous country to go to be a missionary. Matter of fact, you can't even go there as a missionary and say you're going to preach the gospel to them, but you can go as a humanitarian. So her and a few others went to Iraq as humanitarians. I think they were going to work on the water problem. But if someone asked them about Christ, or if the subject came up, they could talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And deep within Karen, I believe that she mourned for the people in Iraq, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, because basically it's a Muslim country. And she wanted them to know Christ in the worst way. Well, nothing worked out the way that her family planned or that the other people's family planned it. They were there less than a year, and they were ambushed, and they were killed. And only one person on the team survived. But Karen had left a letter, and she had left a letter with her pastor. And she didn't want people to grieve for her, but she wanted people to preserve the ministry in Iraq and to continue going to Iraq, even if something happened. To raise up young pastors, she said. And she said this, "I wasn't called to a place, I was called to him. To obey was my objective, to suffer was expected, and his glory was my reward. His glory is my reward." And it's kind of like that verse that we started out with. I want to know Christ. I want to share in his sufferings so somehow I can obtain the resurrection from the dead. And at her funeral, they used a couple of her favorite scriptures. One was this, found in 2 Corinthians 15:5, which says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them." That's the first Beatitudes, to be poor in spirit and to mourn for people that don't know him. But the Apostle Paul's just saying it a different way, because the Apostle Paul really didn't know anything about the Beatitudes at that point, because nothing was written, and he wasn't one of Jesus' disciples. And the second verse was this. It was found in Romans 15:20, and it says, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known." And that would be in Iraq. In Iraq, to the Muslim people. And most of us aren't going to be called to Iraq. But you know, we have a ministry right here. The minute we step outside of our doors, we can go over to the Dollar General. We can go out to lunch. We can go to school, we can go to work tomorrow. And there's going to be someone there who needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to start praying and mourning for them so they come to know Christ, so they can lead their family to Christ, so they can have a rich life, and so they can then pass it on to someone else. And that's what the first two Beatitudes really means, is just acknowledging our need for Jesus Christ today and then to pass it on and give it to someone. John Wesley said it like this in his covenant prayer, "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will." Let me pray for you. God, I ask you now just to begin to work in the hearts and the minds and the souls of people. Help us to acknowledge our need for you, even though we live in a land of plenty. Most have what they need. Maybe not as much, or maybe they don't have their wants. And help us, Lord God, to live out the second half of that and to mourn for people. To truly mourn and to allow our church and our ministries to be developed around that. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you. about Lester's celebration, and don't forget about the sweets that you can buy for our PBA ministry. And now, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. May the love of our God so surround you, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit keep you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. God bless you.